You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Family Matters.
Yeah, joining me just for the last 10 minutes or so of the show is Ruth Anser, who's, of course, clinical psychologist. Ruth, thank you so much for coming on the show. You and I had planned to talk about parental as well as children's anxieties on this return to school with so much that is beyond your control almost as a parent. Imagine dropping off your kid yesterday and you entrust them to the care of a matron at a hostel, and now you've got to bite your nails hoping that they are compliant. And then on top of that, another press briefing finally happening just as we were about to start Family Matters this morning. That is a hell of a lot to take in, isn't it?
It certainly is. There's so much change happening so fast, and there's so much uncertainty. And I think that it does create a lot of anxiety and mixed emotions for people. And, you know, without us really, really knowing how it's all going to work and when it's all going to happen. So
I suppose let's start with that, right? Because there is national level anxiety about the pandemic. There's global anxiety about that. That alone can affect us physically as well as psychologically, and of course in the spaces in between. Yes. And then there is, specific to today and next week, this question of your little ones. And I don't even know which is the most salient of a billion questions in my head. I suppose one of them is, when you have massive uncertainty and you're a mom or a dad or an older sibling or an aunt or uncle, and you have a child entrusted to your care, How do you deal with your uncertainty? You don't want them, presumably, to see that you're anxious or nervous. And yet, on the other hand, my Angie has just said it's unlawful to keep your kid at home. And despite what Panyasa even said here in Gauteng, sure, you can have homeschooling, but there are administrative requirements before that will be allowed. So children need to be in school. It is part of South African law. But there's so much uncertainty. What is your advice for how we should process that and deal with uncertainty?
I mean, I think that we have to take our cues from what we do know. And also, we have to hope that what has been set in place, that when the schools do open, some private schools have already opened, that they're taking into account all that has to be done in terms of keeping to the guidelines. And for a lot of the schools, you know, certainly that have started, and those are private schools that I know are resourced, they really seem to have been very ready at the moment in terms of putting things in place, preparing the child. So I think that the first step is to find out what is going on with your school, and then to listen to what the school is advising in terms of what the child has come to school with, and going through with your child what the guidelines are saying, so that your child feels empowered. It's very important that even though we don't know everything, there is stuff that we do know. So instead of coming from a position of just complete anxiety and uncertainty, we need to look at what has come out in terms of children and the fact that there are certain things that will make it safer for them, as well as the fact that the research is showing us that with the right precautions, children going to school are not necessarily they're not at a high risk in terms of getting the virus or transmitting it. This is coming out that children were thought to be super spreaders. And fortunately, the research that has been coming out and that has been distributed is showing that that doesn't seem to be the case in terms of the numbers we've seen both in South Africa and globally. So we do need to look at what is being said by the medical professionals to just get a more realistic perspective, rather than just feeling, you know, so out of control in terms of our own anxiety for our children's safety. And then that will help you be able to communicate with your children in terms of, this is what we know and this is what we need to do. And these are the requirements from the school. And preparing your child in terms of explaining what will happen at school, because things are very different. You know, there's certain forms that need to be filled out. There's certain procedures. They're going to be seated separately. And I do feel that the parents need to look at their own anxiety, because they children pick up from us. So if our anxiety feels out of control, the message we're giving to our children is, you know, this is dangerous, and you're in danger, and you're going to endanger all of us, and that's very unhelpful. So we need to be guided by what we do know, and we need to communicate that in a calm and safe way. And we do need to, you know, put our trust in terms of the people who are supposed to be getting the schools ready or have got the schools ready, and be in communication with them. So it's not minimizing people's anxiety, but it's just getting them to manage it and then help prepare the children. Obviously, this needs a much longer discussion.
But I like what you're saying. You know, for me, as I'm listening to you, Ruth, there are two dominant messages that are coming out loud and clear. And the first is so important that we remember that children, especially teenagers, are not infants. So do not infantilize them. Have a conversation and trust them to be capable to comprehend information, and information can be empowering. And the second message that comes through for me as I listen to you is the importance of knowing that your own behavior will be mimicked by your children as you send them to school. So also think carefully about what it is that you are role modeling.
Yes, absolutely. And just being in touch with your children in terms of what their anxieties and fears are, because sometimes they're irrational and they just need to kind of have a space to discuss it. That can make a huge difference. For anxious children, giving them a space where you're checking in, where you're asking what's difficult, and also, you know, trust that the children can cope and will adjust. It's difficult. It was difficult for them to adjust to not going to school, and now the adjustment is to suddenly going to school. But we also need to know that, you know, as they get used to it, and they get used to the new way of doing things in terms of the protocols, of the spacing, that it will become, you know, more predictable and more familiar to them.
Yeah.
And we also need to just, you know, kind of give them that space to adjust. And also, you know, not underestimate their ability. And I'm not talking about children who have a predisposition to anxiety or have other issues going on. But in general, I think we often underestimate our children's resilience because we are so protective and we are so anxious.
The last thing I want you to speak into is, notwithstanding their resilience, imparting information, keeping communications channels open, calling them regularly, maybe via WhatsApp or SMS, and taking care to role model for them how they might in turn go out and negotiate the world as of next week.
Yes.
It is still important for us to also, just in the 2 minutes left, to make a last point that you wanted to make on the show, that it is also okay to not be okay, and perhaps we need to draw a distinction between worry that is healthy and worry that is debilitating.
Yes, absolutely. And some sense of apprehension to something new is normal and is acceptable and is fine. The problem is when the worry becomes overwhelming and can't be managed. And that's where we have to step in much more.
Absolutely. And when people do feel like that, what are the kind of tools they can use? I mean, obviously, some of us are lucky enough. We might have access to a Ruth. We might be able to see someone in private practice. But is there a toolkit? What should be people's go-to places if the worry morphs from healthy worry to something that's a bit more overwhelming or even debilitating?
So there's not a one-minute toolkit answer, because then I would market it and be very rich. But just to know that there are a lot of resources at the moment, helplines that are for free, that are offering support for people and can get them in touch with professionals if necessary, that are manned by by trained counsellors, such as the South African Depression Anxiety Group. There are quite a few hotlines. And if you're feeling that you don't know how to cope, it is important to get in touch with them, because, you know, we want the anxiety to be something that, you know, helps us to prepare, not something that immobilizes us and starts to take over.
Absolutely. And we'll come back to a lot of those numbers and the next part of the discussion, the longer one. But speak to your children, especially teenagers. Give them information. Keep the comms channels open. Remember, as Ruth said, what you role model to them, they feed off your body language, tone, but also at the same time, give yourself permission to be worried about that which is new and distinguish between healthy worry and that which is overwhelming. Pithy, but absolutely incisive nevertheless. Ruth, thank you so much for your generosity as always.
No, such a pleasure. Take care.
That was Ruth Anser, who is a clinical psychologist.